Washington Commanders fans, rally up. It's the Rally Cabin, and you're listening to Commander's Call. And now, your host, Sam Murray of Commanders 365.
Welcome back, Commanders fans. Thank you for tuning in to Commander's Call podcast. You're joined by myself, Tall Jeff, as well as Sam Murray from Commanders 365. Find us on Twitter, on Instagram primarily. And we are here today to talk with Mr. AJ Perez from Front Office Sports. He has been one of the people covering the sale very, very diligently. He has been a good mediator of all the different reports coming out between like the New York Post and Washington Post, and has been pretty accurate on all the different kind of moving points as far as the bidding and the investigations. And he was awesome enough to offer us some of his time. So we'll let you get right to it. Please follow him on Twitter at @BYAJPerez. And yeah, we'll get right to it. Here he is.
I want to give a warm welcome and thank you to AJ Perez for giving us the time out of his day to sit here and try to give us a little clarity on what is going on with the sale of the Washington Commanders, formerly known as the Washington Football Team, formerly known as the Washington Redskins. You guys are probably very aware of that. AJ has been a very good constant in the middle of everything that's been going on. We've had conflicting reports from both sides, but AJ is here to give us a little bit of clarity, and we're happy to have him and very, very privileged to be able to share his knowledge with you. How you doing, AJ?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. This is like, pretty... hard times to sit and say, hey, this is exactly what's happening. This is not what's happening, but want to have you on to try to maybe explain to us what the legalities of what everything is going on with Dan Snyder, what's going on with the Commanders. It's kind of hard to sit back and look at everything and like, what's truth, what's not. Is this team actually getting ready to sell? Like what's going on? Is Dan going to jail? Like what's going on?
Yeah, it's been a quiet couple of days, actually. It's been like, really since the Washington Post on Monday night, and then Tuesday morning we had the ESPN story. What I reported earlier Monday. It was just basically the owners being outraged. Now even more outraged, I reported after that. But, you know, it's been a quiet couple of days. I mean, after the ESPN report dropped, it's obviously a shock to a lot of people, including myself and some of the stuff, including them getting the arbitration paperwork, which is amazing. I mean, I've covered arbitrations going back, geez, at least 10 years in NFL, probably no longer than that, 14, 15 years going back to like the star caps, the supplement stuff when the Saints got busted with way back when. And the arbitration stuff never comes out. So that's pretty shocking. And, you know, that was a credit to ESPN for getting that. But after that's dropped, it's been kind of quiet as far as like, you know, figuring out what I reported yesterday about, you know, the three options of which are going to be Josh Harris, Jeff Bezos, or Dan Snyder keeping it, that still remains. Josh Harris, I think from what I've heard from my sources, you know, he's trying to get the money together, make sure everything's there if he moves forward with the team, with a real, you know, bid that we know about. And Bezos still like, you know, a lurking horse out there. He's kind of like, hanging back. There's still people around the league who are trying to broker something between Bezos and Snyder. And obviously Dan Snyder not being a big fan of Bezos, mostly because, or pretty much 100% because of the Washington Post reporting. So that's pretty much where it stands right now. And, it's kind of, it'd be an interesting few days. I think the big thing right now is, wrote, I think, a couple either the same day as they announced the sale or right afterwards about the stadium being an issue. The new stadium is a huge issue in this because not only are you buying a team for, you know, $5-6 billion, you're going to spend, you know, I think it's the league's going to help out a lot with the new stadium, I think more than any other team in a while, because it's going to take a lot of effort because there's not going to be much public money, if any, for it. So that's going to cost another $3-4 billion on top of it. The league taking a decent chunk of that, but still, we're talking to $1.5-2 billion for a $3 billion stadium. And that was very, very optimistic. I know the Raiders built their stadium for around $2 billion. That's not, but you saw how much SoFi cost, which is like around $5 billion. So it's, you know, I think we're going to be a little between those two stadiums for a dome stadium here in the DC area.
It's very obvious that Washington has has pushed, Dan Snyder has pushed for the want to have a Super Bowl here. And I think one of the big reasons
that's actually going that, back, I mean, going back to when he first became an owner, that's what started to rub the owners the wrong way with Dan Snyder. He was really pushing, very brash about pushing for a stadium. Oh, sorry, pushing for the Super Bowl coming here. Right, it's within a right. 2 or 3 years of him becoming an owner, and that kind of got him. That pretty much put him like, you know, it turned him off. You know, turned several owners off at that point. Granted, of all of the stuff we've had the last 3 years, many more owners have been turned off. But I'm sorry to interrupt, but go for it.
No, it's fine. I just like, do you think like when you say they were turned off, like? I guess it's obviously the being an NFL owner and being an owner of a franchise, like it's a very exclusive thing. And I guess maybe he came in a little too hot is kind of like what it sounded like to you. Yeah. And to not have a dome stadium, like the way that they, from what my understanding is like they didn't want to fund his stadium, and other teams get like the Bills and other teams that didn't really have like the super need to have a new stadium, but they got one anyway. And, and Dan Snyder, and like, if you've been to FedEx Field, it's very, very obvious that we need a new one, but it's wild that, you know, they push that against him, but it's crazy to hear that, you know, from your perspective and from what you've heard, I didn't know that it went back that far. I didn't know that he tried.
Yeah, it was like, he was a young owner. I mean, he was very young when he got the team. And he's still the second, maybe third youngest, if you count the Niners. So he's still one of the young owners in this league, but he kind of like, you know, bull in a china shop when he first became an owner. And as we saw with the firing of North Turner, and we saw with, you know, him going after Deion Sanders and Bruce Smith, and, you know, he was much more hands-on back then. And now, you know, now he's been trying to claim for the last few years he was hands off with all the stuff's going on with the team. So it's kind of, but it's, you know, Snyder has been, you know, has never found success with this team. You know, never, you know, can't find the right, you know, turnover for the coaches, turnover for players, in the front office, and all the issues that came out with the Washington Post reporting and then the NFL investigation that started all this. There's so much out there at this point, and I think. And while owners 20 years ago, when he was trying to get the Super Bowl here, were kind of maybe turned off by him. Now they're just like, who's next? I mean, can we move on from now? And that's why the whole push for removals, but almost it's getting going again.
So do you think, like, with everything that came out, especially with now with, like, it's very hard to sort through all the conflicting reports, especially, like, it came out from the Washington Post or came out from the New York Post. So you kind of have to think about, was that Bezos putting that out to try to do, you know, push a certain thing along? And then the $55 million loan that came out, I was talking to a buddy of mine that is in the finance business, and he was like, hey, you got to kind of look at it as how Europe, whenever they adopted the euro, and everyone's together, and Greece, you know, had their issues, and they didn't tell the entire conglomerate, or if I'm not using the right word, I'm sorry, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
They didn't tell
them that they took it's basically a loan out against everyone is kind of how I'm understanding it. And it's wild. It's like, oh, I saw that text message, obviously everyone knows about, when we were forced to change the name, this, that, and the other. It's wild to hear about this. Maybe wasn't like the sexual assault and the sexual allegations, even though that's obviously terrible in every way that it can be, maybe that wasn't like the biggest, you know, deal that
it's
that,
hard. Yeah. I think it's hard to point like what the biggest deal it is at this point. There's been so much. I think it's just the avalanche of it all. I mean, there's just so much of it. And, you know, there's, you know, my report, I broke the story a year ago, Jesus, about the using two books. That was like, yeah, and that was before, that's what started this entire stuff. And, you know, I had some information that Congress had, and I'm actually have some more information Congress has. I'm trying to report out now. But there's, I know there was, you know, there, you know, and it's, and you saw the pushback once, you know, the pushback from my story, obviously the pushback when Congress actually sent that letter to the FTC within a couple of weeks, you know, that, you know, everything is that what hasn't Snyder and the Commanders denied over the last, you know, 2-3 years, everything. And it's everything. And it's pretty much everything that's been reported. I know that Beth Wilkinson's report, her summary, Shador wasn't a written report, you know, kind of said, you know, Dan Snyder accepted responsibility. That was the first time we've ever seen that in any kind of way. And, you know, that And he, obviously he stepped away. That was like a shadow ban for a couple months, whatever it was. I mean, we never told. Shadow he just stepped ban. Away. Tanya kind of took over. I asked Jerry Jones, like last owner's meetings, like last March, you know, why is this, you know, so can Snyder be here? Why isn't he? Oh, he could be here. I don't know why he's not. Tanya's great. But, you know, ever since, you know, that relationship with Jerry Jones has kind of soured a little bit. They're still friendly. I'm trying to confirm whether if, you know, Snyder, if, what Jerry Jones is doing at this point. He's the biggest power broker in the league. Robert Kraft says he wants Bezos. I think there's others, you know, I think that's why Bezos is the most straightforward path. Also, he has the money for a new stadium wherever he wants it. And that's going to be the biggest part of it. And it's like, you know, because these teams are the NFL, you know, it's going to sell for more than the Broncos, 4.65 for sure. I mean, or close to. I mean, we're I'm hearing around. It does, but you know, there's so many issues. And we saw the NFLPA report yesterday, the survey that came out, dead last for the Commanders for everything almost. You know, overall.
Who's shocked?
Yeah, and it's, you know, and you saw, and it's not shocking, and it's, but it's like, you know, but every single time they have to put a statement out about something bad, and it's been a lot of statements this week.
Yeah. So Jeff, like, what are your thoughts?
I was going to ask. So there's obviously been reporting that Dan doesn't want to sell to Bezos in particular because, as you said, the stuff in the Washington Post. Do you think realistically, like, he will have much of a say in who it actually gets sold to once the bidding starts?
They may just take it away. If he doesn't come to an agreement with an owner, with Harris, somebody else, I've been trying to figure out if there's anybody else besides Harris. We know the Fertitta bid that Washington Post reported last weekend, which was, you know, that was below, you know, that was, that still is not a really bad bid, really, you know, around 5.5.
I'd take it.
You know, I think Snyder has to come to a realization that, you know, that maybe the franchise has languished easily for the last 24 years since he's owned it. That there's, you know, there's a lot, this is a reclamation project almost, you know, obviously the front office, I think the, you know, it was only a week ago, Eric Bieniemy was introduced to us, and I was down a couple, like a mile away from my gym here, at the team headquarters. And it was a different feeling that day. And then later that day, we had Bezos with the Bezos hiring, or he at some point hired Allen and Company. Yeah. So, you know, that was like, it was great. It was a great day. And then ever since, it's been just like, it's been headline after bad headline. And I just don't see it. It's, I don't know. And there's going to be more. I mean, this is just, I'm not saying this is the start, but you know, the ESPN story, the last couple of ESPN stories have been pretty not friendly to Dan Snyder, and it's his own doing. So, you know, he has to realize, you know, he'll have to pay that $1 billion back of, you know, the loans he's taken out. The league possibly could eat some of it. You know, they're for when these loans are taken out, the NFL backs the loans. The NFL is not a bank. They have, there's a lending institution, Bank of America is involved, obviously, because that's a team bank. So that's a bank that Snyder has used for a lot of things. So that $1 billion of debt is basically backed by the NFL, like co-signing a car loan basically for a kid. So the NFL could, you know, come together and say, maybe drop some of that off. Indemnification is pretty much off the table. That was, when I read that, I'm like, oh man, that's not going to fly, because it didn't, because Kroenke indemnified the owners before he moved from St. Louis to LA, and he still backed out of it. So it's like the indemnification thing is not a very sore subject at this point in the NFL. That's not going to fly. And it's like, your indemnification is not for somebody, like, it's not something that Bruce Allen did or something that Jay Rudin did. It's something, this goes back to Snyder. How are you going to identify something that you are responsible for? Why would you, it's like asking for it. And obviously the team has denied that he did that. A lot of things have been denied over the years that ended up being truthful. I'm not saying this is any different. I don't know. Those aren't my sources, but I respect the Washington Post and those three reporters who wrote it.
It's been pretty hard to decipher as someone that's, you know, like us, like on the outside of everything. It's like, what is truth and what it's not? But like, what's been coming out, like, you know, in that text message that was been floated around and was like from the minority owners. I was like, hey, like Dan, like, these are the things, like, if you want to play hardball, we'll play hardball.
That was John Moog, who was representing the three co-owners, who had two groups, I think, set up to buy the 40%, and those both fell through. And that's led to a lawsuit, led to arbitration. And obviously the arbitration, Goodell may have not made the right choice by not going after the claim that the co-owners, you know, which started this whole thing. This whole process started because Dan Snyder pissed off the co-owners. You know, and that's, you know, that by, you know, taking out that loan and doing other things financially that the three co-owners were not happy about. They wanted a full sale. So, and that was, and John Moog was representing his three clients as best he could. So that, and those text messages have, you know, gone around, and that was part of, you know, that was, there's been, you know, Sider went after John Moog, Sider went after a lot of people through that India lawsuit about the, after the Washington Post story, between those two stories came out in the summer of 2020, that they were, you know, that there was, you know, the misinformation campaign. They had bots going after Dan Snyder, saying that he was linked to all these, this totally made up things. But you know, it's pretty much, that was pretty much unproven. And, but that's how, that's, you know, that India lawsuit is how I broke the story. My first Bezos scoop, when his attorney actually reached out over that 40% when it was being offered, when they were trying to get out, long before the Fred Smith, the FedEx CEO, forced a name change.
I thought it was odd of him for kind of to go after that Indian tabloid after all that happening. Like it was such a big deal for him, and they had press releases and everything.
But how many U.S. district courts he tried to, you know, use the U.S. court system to subpoena people about this, and we saw the shadow investigation, you know, of the reporters that we saw in Congress, the reporters in the Washington Post, a lot, and we don't know if we only saw a redacted version of it. We know handful of the reporters of the Washington Post that were part of it, and how they got those phone records. I mean, they got phone records through that lawsuit, the India lawsuit. They actually were able to petition, get subpoenas, and then they were able to get, it's just the way he's used private investigators and his legal team is just, I've never seen it before. And I mean, maybe it's kind of like, you know, I'm a sports writer. I'm an investigative reporter. I do a lot of things in legal side of it. But it's kind of, it's like almost corporate espionage. I'm not going to say it was illegal, but it was all legal. So I'm going to say espionage, that's kind of illegal. This is actually, it was under the law.
Legal is a loose term.
Yeah. He used the, you know, the court petition, the federal courts to aid that India lawsuit. And he was able to get a lot of information.
It's just wild. Cause like, the way I'm understanding is like the NFL is an umbrella, like they're not the entirety of it is a corporate entity, but they don't allow corporate entities under that umbrella.
Yes,
so it would make them something different. And I, like I said, I can't totally understand, cause I'm not an expert in finance by any means, or an expert in anything that we're actually talking about. I'm just a fan, but it's wild that, and to me, my understanding is like, they need to be in the know about everything. And Dan Snyder with this loan, apparently, like what's going on, he did this without the knowing of everyone else, and it probably affected everyone else's dime. So it's wild. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand. Like, they have released this information, or whoever has released this information is as going to implicate the NFL. The NFL, they always say, hey, let's protect the shield. It's always about the shield. Mm-hmm. This is wild. It came from being about us and the Redskins, Commanders, Washington Football Team, whatever you want to call them. And now it's something even bigger that we didn't even imagine. And I don't even know like where it goes from here. Is it going to get messier? Like, it seems like it's going to even messier. Well, like, we knew that.
It could be. I mean, this is not going to endanger Roger Goodell's job, but he is up for, you know, he's going to be his next, his next contract, the money's being negotiated and such right now. Goodell made two major, you could say, people I talk to think Goodell made two major errors in this. First, hiring Beth Wilkinson after Dan Snyder fired her. That set up the whole common interest agreement, and that pretty much gave Snyder a little bit of a say on how that investigation went, including the written report that we never saw. Hiring somebody who was basically an attorney under Dan Snyder, that was a big mistake. I know the NFL maybe felt bad that she got fired by Dan Snyder unjustly, because she did. But you know, that set up a whole bunch of legal things and set that up. And the biggest thing, like during her investigation, March, was it 3 months before it was done, the NFL approved that debt waiver. That was a clear sign. That was approved in March 2021, the 40% debt waiver, which now we know how much $1 billion of debt that's where most of it comes from, is, you know, that was a clear sign that the investigation was not going to lead to anything major with Snyder. And I was right, because 3 months later he got done in July 2021. The team got fined $10 million and he went away for a little bit, and Tony took over day-to-day operations. There's certain steps that the NFL kind of made errors through this entire process and let Dan Snyder kind of have too much of a say, or too much, maybe they didn't see it coming, but they should have. But, you know, that first investigation, obviously the junkies, got that report filed. When it first came out, the junkies like, oh, we got the report. I'm like, whoa, what? And I've never seen it. I asked the producer immediately when it came out. I'm like, dude, you like send it over? And I have not. But it ended up being, I didn't think it was real, but within a few days, I'm like, wow, that could have been. And I saw a Twitter exchange today with one of the junkies, and I'm like,
That's all of our thoughts.
They're like the TMZ of the DC sports media. He can't really.
There's probably pressure. There could have been pressure applied by whoever. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to speculate. But why we didn't see it? The Dan Snyder yacht tractor was in my DMs today talking about, I could have sworn I saw it on Reddit. I'm like, well, find it. I want to see it. Because it's like disappeared if it did. I don't remember seeing it that day. That's why I asked the producer. That's right after they aired. It was like within an hour of the show, I think. I was like, hey, you guys got a copy of that? So there's been so much intrigue and so many things that the league could have done better. And that's why this Mary Jo White investigation is so important. And why Dan Snyder trying to cover it up is kind of, I'm not going to say laughable, but it is kind of very, very, that's a big ask if he and the team denied that he asked it. So, but it's, if he did, that's a big ask. He's like, her report has been going on, her investigation going on for more than a year. She spent the last 11 months of that investigation, looking into the financial part of it as well. It started off with the Tiffany Johnston allegation of harassment targeted at the Snyder. It expanded to the financial stuff after Congress released their report, their letter to the FTC. So it's progressing, and we don't know when it's going to be. There's a special meeting next week that happens before every owners meeting. Now they're going to fly to Florida, and they're going to go into committees and discuss things, and then that from there, a couple weeks later, is in Phoenix is the owners meeting. I know AP reported yesterday that there's like a docket. There's like a docket item on Snyder. There's not yet. But it doesn't mean they're not going to like every single time when they're in an executive session. It usually only happens at the main owners meeting when there's just basically just the owners in the room, no reps or anything. It's Goodell and the owners. That's it. They have discussed Snyder a little bit at least. But there's been no move for removal, during those meetings, and it's all been on pause anyway since November. So, there's a chance we'll get the Mary Jo White report before the owners meetings at the end of the month. And if that drops, that's when the process for removal, if he has not picked someone to buy the team yet, is going to start.
It's just, I was always under the impression that the Mary Jo White investigation was like the big bombshell, and they were kind of my impression. This is just how I took it as a fan, that they were kind of maybe holding back that Mary Jo White investigation because that was maybe a deal with him. Like, hey, if you just sell and get out of here, because let's be real, it's the NFL. It's a locker room culture. It's a bunch of old white men, billionaires for the most part. You could really look into, I'm sure, a lot of franchises and find something if you're under a microscope and find something to where in this day and age, it would probably be scrutinized. And I was like, man, maybe that's like why, they're trying to like hold this back. Cause they're again, trying to protect the shield. Don't want to, but then this whole thing about like legal allegations about the loan and everything else is like what made me like really rethinking it. And especially like going back to that text message that's been floating around like, hey Dan, you want to play hardball? We'll play hardball. Like, you know what I'm talking about. And everybody doesn't know what we're talking about. So it's like now, It kind of seems like, hey, we've been keeping this under wraps for you. Do you really want us to release like the really big stuff? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is way bigger than we all even thought it was going to be. Like, what is even going to happen from here?
I talked to an NFL owner in December at the last owner's meetings, and he's like, AJ, you can't rely on what she's going to report. That's not, we don't know what's going to report. It may not have everything that, you know, the fans that are here in DC or there, and I was in Dallas, want. And it's not, it may not be as explosive. Also, a reason why it may not be is because the NFL never really jumps investigations that led by either the federal government or police. The police, for the personal conduct policy, they always wait. We saw it with Deshaun. We saw it with every single athlete, from Ray Rice to everything. They let the court, the police investigation, the court process to play out before they jump in. Now we know that there's a federal investigation. There's been at least one subpoena. They're going after this financial stuff. The league, the team says it's only about the stuff that Congress, about Jason Friedman, his testimony to Congress and his allegations. It was only about that. That's what I had the story last Wednesday, last week, and then which was kind of put back out there after the Monday story of the Washington Post. So it's, you know, we don't know exactly, and it does that how that will impact, because it's like in the past the NFL has been very reluctant to issue any kind of report while there is an investigation going on, and now we got the IRS, you got the FBI, you know, the U.S. attorney is using that grand jury there in Alexandria. So that's going to be very complicated for the NFL for two things. Well, for I'll explain why. Basically, you don't, if you put out allegations that they don't have, they're going to subpoena them. So they're going to go to the NFL like, oh, well, you got something. Let's see it. Or, you know,
the NFL is going to say no.
No, it's not good. They probably can't. They're going to have to turn over something. That's not good or bad. I mean, that's just that. But it's also the downside. The other side of it is if the report isn't as detailed as the FBI comes out, and the FBI may not do anything. IRS and FBI, U.S. Attorney, there may not be any charges out of this, civil or criminal. These things take a long time, typically, unless it's a very, very, very easy case. You know, these things, you know, take time. Even perjury takes time to investigate. Not that we have any proof that this is part of it, but they're kind of in a very, very tough spot. Mary Jo White and the NFL are, because, you know, either the investigation goes so far where they have more information than the FBI and the IRS and the U.S. Attorney's Office, or they're going to not exonerate Snyder, but they may not have all the information that the U.S. Attorney's Office has. So what, you know, so that financial part of the report is going to be very, very interesting to see. And I'm not going to say it's delay anything. Like I said, I think we're going to have something before the end of the month. But if we don't, that's the reason why. The reason why is, the NFL, you know, they could release the Johnston part easily. That's not part of the FBI investigation, as far as we know. It likely isn't. It's all financial. But if there's not a lot of stuff about the financial side of it in the Mary Jo White report, that's going to be, you know, that there's going to be a reason for that. And it's not, that doesn't necessarily mean Mary Jo White didn't find anything, but it's also could be they don't want to interfere with the FBI's investigation.
Great. Well, AJ, thank you so much for your time today. You've been very generous with us. I guess one last question. You kind of hinted at this in your last paragraph, but do you think the sale will happen the next month or so? Or
I saw a report that, oh, now the NFL wants to keep them because, you know, they're afraid of all this stuff. I'm like, there's so much heat now. Everybody else, people in this area have been knowing this for a while. There's so much out there now. How can they let him keep going with this team? I mean, there's just really, he has a chance to sell. He's announced the sale, or at least exploring the options in November. That stopped the move to remove him. Good. That was a good move by Snyder. You know, a lot of people, some of my sources from the start, man, at least one or two have always said, like, he's not going to sell. He's going to keep it. Now, let me see the reports the last several days, or at least earlier this week. You know, there's that, just to say that that's all there is out there. That's not true. There's going to be other stuff coming out. There's a lot of reporters on this, beyond myself and beyond the Washington Post and beyond the ESPN. There's other reporters out there, and they're digging, and they've been digging on stuff for a long time. You know, to say that this is going to be the end is going to be, that would be very, very rosy assessment of it. And the heat's only going to, you know, keep coming. So if he doesn't sell, it's going to get ugly. And I don't know how they can't move for removal at this point. I just really don't see how they can't. They were getting close to 24 votes moving that way. I don't know how many there. I wouldn't say there was at least half back in November that were at least contemplating removal. You know, we saw what Jim Irsay said. But if there's, you know, at this point, it's, if unless there's something really, really, really damaging that Snyder has that they're afraid of, which we don't know. It's also Snyder can't. He can sue the NFL or he can sue the other owners. He can, but that'll be put in arbitration immediately. It's going to be. It won't. We'll know unless 4 years down the line those arbitration documents leak. But we'll probably never know what ends up with that. That's a very secret process, and that's why when I said when I started off with you guys today, it was, you know, I was say shocked ESPN got that information. So, you know, there's always a chance it could come out down the road, but there's really not a lot of recourse Snyder has at this point. So, and I think, you know, it's going to be up to the owners to the other owners, if he doesn't sell within the next few weeks, to, you know, just to mount that effort for 24 plus votes for removal. It's never happened before. They're very, very, very reluctant to do it. They've never done it before. But I think there's really no, I mean, people I talk to, I don't know. That's why the sale seems more likely, even if it's not going to be for $7 billion, like that report from December that Forbes had, which we all knew. I was in California, yeah. Chris. So I'm like, come on, dude. I'm like, dude, come on.
It's like, you always want to try to sell high, but like, it's one. Like,
yeah, so everyone knows. We got more than $7 billion in the first round of bidding. And I'm like, so it was 6.2.
It's so Dan Snyder to be like, oh, $7
billion. Yeah, yeah, and like, you're $7 billion, but you don't want Bezos to be there. I'm like, there was no way. That's why we knew it was all kind of was like, you know, there. Yeah, it's been a fun ride. It's the next few weeks are going to be a very, very, for Commanders fans, I'm sorry. It could be kind of hard. It could be kind of hard to, take it all in, but there may be, you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. I think the chance of Snyder being the owner kickoff in September are fairly low, but there's still a chance. I mean, he could hang on and fight, and if they don't remove him during the next several months, you know, you're looking at Dan Snyder still the owner of the Commander playing at FedEx, which will probably, I guess they're adding something to it today. I saw a press release, but it's still going to be, you know that, and that's FedEx isn't his fault. FedEx was built on the cheap by
it's a hole,
and so that's kind of, you know, here nor there, but
it's our hole.
Yeah, so hang in there, Commanders fans. Hopefully you'll get some good news over the next several weeks. If you're a Dan Snyder fan, good luck to you.
I've never met you, and I don't think I ever will.
I muted on Twitter. There's a couple Snyder fans on Twitter. Everybody says that they're Snyder's learners. I don't think that's the case, but if Snyder's lurking on Twitter, that's probably not good for his mental health.
Well, we're pretty sure that he has some burner accounts, because like I've come across some apologists, which I like to call him. It's like anyone that's like defends him, like how can you even do that at this point? Like, it's just weird. Like whether you agree, we know with, you know, everything that's happened with him or not, like it's just very obvious that he needs to just pack up and go. And it's very hard to decipher what is real and what's not. And that's why we wanted to have you on today to kind of like alleviate that and give us a little bit of truth onto that. And we've really appreciated your articles that have came out and, you know, how you tried to explain it to everyone. And thank you for coming on today. Could you mind please telling us like where everyone that were listening to us can find you, you know, drop your, your ads, sure, and everything socials. Else.
Yeah. So, frontofficesports.com, sign up for our newsletter twice a day on the weekdays, once on Saturday and once on Sunday. We do the weekend features on Saturday and Sunday. Our newsletter is general sports, business, and culture news. That's free. And follow me at Instagram and or mostly Twitter. It's the same at Instagram and Twitter at @BYAJPerez.
Hey, thank you very much, AJ. I appreciate you guys, you giving us time and helping our fan base kind of try to decipher what's going on here, because we've been, through everything and we hear a lot of differing opinions from many different media sources, and it's just been a wild ride and we all just want it to be over. So we're just kind of hoping.
Yeah, I do too. I have other stories to work on. I have a lot, like two other investigations that I'd like this, I thought I'd be able to focus on by now, but, which I'm glad to cover it. I live here and, I've got a lot of knowing a lot of people around here is helpful with this when I do this kind of reporting.
If you ever want to break any news, you're welcome to come back on the pod.
that would piss off my boss. So, yeah.
Understood, man. Professionalism, it means a lot. But hey, AJ, thank you so much for joining us. It means a lot. And, you know, hopefully we all see the Commander sold soon. You know, we're at a point where I've been a lifelong fan. I just call them the C words at this point. Like, it is what it is. But we just want to see Dan gone. And hopefully this doesn't become anything more than we thought it was going to be, but it kind of seems like it's going to. But thank you for breaking that down for us and giving us a little bit of perspective and the legalities of everything, because it helps, really helps, like just having a little bit of understanding about, you know, the issues and whatever's going on. So thank you and good luck to you and your endeavors. And thank you for taking the time to sit with us here and talk to us and try to decipher it for us, because it means a lot and we need it as fan base.
No problem. Well, thanks for having me on. Good luck, guys.
That's all we have for you tonight, folks, and thank you so much for listening to Commander's Call Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Murray of Commander's 365, and that was my good buddy, Tall Jeff. Big thank you to AJ Perez for coming on today and giving us a little bit of clarity on all the news that's been happening in Commander's Land dealing with the sale. If you go on any of your streaming sites, please be sure to like and subscribe. We will see you soon. Keep that left hand up.